At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warmer Philly Law, welcome to Lovey Las Vegas. For Jessica Soup, with myself, Craig Spears, and now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And we are going to be joined in the second segment of this fine podcast today by Aaron Robinson. He does a great job over there at All Facts Media. He actually used to play at both Quinnipiac and Coppin State, someone that actually knows about going through the transfer portal. So we've got a lot of experience that is going to be joining the show today. We're going to be asking him about his area, as he is out there in the DMV area in the state of Maryland. So we're going to be asking a little bit about Maryland. We're also going to be asking about the Georgetown Hoyas, who under the radar have been able to do a relatively solid job here in the transfer portal this offseason. He also does some work with NBC Sports Edge. And we're also going to be talking about something that I wound up touching upon a few days ago, just some of the coaches that have been able to do a good slash bad job of utilizing the transfer portal, what they have in common, and the areas of the country in which are benefiting the most and the least from NIL, as you'll notice that there have been a few schools that they've been utilizing it quite well, and just some of the things that have went into it in general. So we're going to have a nice wide-ranging conversation with Aaron in the second segment. And then in the final segment, going to give you guys a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Wednesday. We did wind up having some big transfer portal decisions, so going to be fun to be able to break those down. And if you do ever have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you've got one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at gunit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, size per usual. Please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really didn't get in any Twitter questions today, but we did wind up having a great chat with Aaron a little bit earlier in the day. So we're going to have that for you next right here on Cusco Soups with myself, Craig Spears, and now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Spears, and now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And it is great to be joined by our guest, Aaron Robinson, doing a great job out there in the DMV area. He is in the great state of Maryland, holding it down with NBC Sports Edge. Also is one of the founders of All Facts Media. He does that along with his brother, Andrew Robinson. Those guys do absolutely terrific work being able to take a look at the game of college basketball. So you've got a lot going on there, and they've got a podcast of their own, The Auto Bid. You're able to find that wherever you find this podcast. As to be able to follow Aaron on Twitter, that is at Ace Robinson, and then Ace underscore after that. And then for their network, All Facts Media, All Facts Media on Twitter, all together. It's nice, clean, and easy there. And Aaron, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Greg. It was a lot of fun coming on talking hoops, man. I'm excited. Obviously, it's off season, so been a lot of movement with the portal and whatnot, and excited to dive into some of it.
Yep, absolutely. And I know that you're out there in the state of Maryland, very nearby the campus of Georgetown, which obviously is in Washington, D.C. And I know you've got some thoughts as to what we've seen with Georgetown this offseason, because let's call it what it is. It was about as bad of a season in conference as you can get. And they did wind up losing quite a few pieces in the offseason, but I like some of the guys that they've got coming in. I like the fact that they bring in Jay Heath and Brandon Murray out there in the backcourt. I think that it's a bunch that they really did need a little bit of an overhaul. And I think that Patrick Ewing has actually been able to do that. Obviously, I don't think that they're going to be winning the conference or anything like that, but I feel like they've made strides in the right direction this offseason.
You know, you hit it on the head, man. I think Brandon Murray and Jay Heath were both outstanding additions. Obviously, Jay Heath is a D.C. kid. He grew up right here and in the city at Wilson High School. And he was a kid that kind of blew up, you know, later in his high school career. And obviously went to Boston College and averaged double figures there. And then went to Arizona State with Bobby Hurley and was able to, you know, have a good season last year. And so to get him coming back home is pretty exciting. And then Brandon Murray, obviously, one more kid who was local. He's from Baltimore, you know what I'm saying, which obviously down here in the DMV. Folks that are from here know Baltimore and D.C. are very, very different. But nonetheless, local guy, had a great freshman season at LSU. But the addition that I think I love the most is Cook from UConn, man. This is a kid that before he got hurt, man, was an impact player at UConn, man. Kind of, you know, 3-and-D slashing kind of forward UConn. And obviously, he had some injury troubles the past couple of years. But if he can stay healthy, man, he's somebody that can be a very productive player in the Big East, man. He actually went to my prep school, Putnam Science Academy, and won a national championship day with Kyle Lofton and Asuna Suni and Jose Perez and, you know, that whole crew there. And the kid's a winner, man. I mean, plays hard, elite defensive player, long block shots, can stretch the floor. I mean, he's somebody that, you know, before he got hurt, on pace to potentially, you know, get some looks to play in the NBA. And obviously, you know, a year or two removed from that, he's going to have to prove that he can stay healthy first. But I love the addition of Cook for Georgetown, man. You know, a guy that can play multiple positions. You can play him in the post. You can play him on the wing. I think he's somebody that's going to bring a lot of, first of all, experience, but also toughness to this Georgetown lineup, man. So I'm with you. And I don't know if this is, you know, a tournament team or anything like that, but for sure a step in the right direction is off-season for Patrick Ewing.
Yep, I can tell you right now, I don't think that Georgetown is going to be going winless again in the Big East. I don't know how many wins they wind up getting, but certainly not zero. I do like what's been done this offseason, as I do think that the shakeup was very much needed, as we do have Aaron Robinson of All Facts Media joining me on the podcast, and I think that you nailed it with a cook of cook, him being a good shot blocker in year number one, and then this last year in a little bit of a diminished role, still being able to shoot some threes, good versatility there. I think that he's going to be a little bit of an impact guy, and we just take a look around college basketball. Are there a few guys that you feel like with regards to their fit that maybe they're not necessarily getting the love that they deserve? Because I mean, we all know some of the big names, like, for example, Kendrick Davis going to Memphis, I feel like was the biggest name on the board. Fadas Amick, the fact that he winds up going to Texas Tech, I think that that's very big for them. But you mentioned one in a cook that I really like the fit for him. I think that he is going to be able to come in there and he's going to be able to do a very good job. But then you take a look past that. I like what LSU has been able to do, bringing in a lot of the Murray State guys. I think that instantly they're going to be able to have a little bit of success. And then a little bit off the radar and a little bit more off the beaten path, I feel like, is someone like a Noah Carter going to Missouri. I think that he's going to be able to go in there, do a solid job. I like what's being built there. Is there a transfer or two that you take a look at and you think, man, why is this not getting more attention?
I think the one that I would say is probably Jalen Llewellyn going to Michigan. He's somebody that I think has gotten flown a little bit under the radar. I mean, obviously he was initially committed to Clemson, but that staff shakeup, Brad Brownell ended up losing three assistants. He was obviously ended up backing out of that commitment and ended up going to Michigan. Man, I think he's going to be a guy that is an impact player in the Big Ten. Man, I love his game. He's a bigger guard, not necessarily a great shooter, but can make open shots, plays with great pace. Former top 100 recruit out of high school, man. And obviously, if you look at a lot of these Ivy League transfers 2 years ago, Michigan took Mike Smith from Columbia. He was outstanding for them and went all the way to the Elite Eight. And I think obviously Jalen Llewellyn is somebody completely different player than Mike Smith. He's a lot taller. He's not the shooter that Mike Smith was, but just these Ivy League transfers that are older, that have played college basketball. I really like his game. I think he's going to be somebody that can make an impact at Michigan for Juwan Howard.
Yeah, no question about it. I do think that Jalen Llewellyn sort of fits in the mold of what Michigan has been looking to do as well. They don't necessarily take a bunch of guys out there in the transfer portal, but they look to those like one, maybe two impact guys a year. And I do think that that is really the best way to be able to go about it. You don't necessarily want to be building through the transfer portal, having like four out of your five starters coming in via the transfer portal, trying to put it all together, because I feel like we see it at all forms of basketball, whether that be high school, whether that be college. Well, heck, I mean, you're able to take a look at the NBA with teams like the Lakers and the Nets. When you wind up forming being these teams on the fly, they just so wind up having a lot of chemistry. But utilizing the portal to get those one, maybe two pieces in your, say, seven-man rotation to be able to bolster it up, have like maybe a third, fourth banana, something like that with regards to your scoring, I think that's a perfect way to utilize portal. I think that Michigan has figured that out quite well.
I 100% agree with you, man. I think another team that obviously is going to have a lot of work to do, but, you know, obviously I'm local down here in Maryland, but they made a huge splash with Jameer Young out of Charlotte, man. And I think he's somebody who is going to be able to come in and have a huge, huge impact, man. He's obviously going through the NBA draft process right now. He's going to have a decision to make whether to stay in the draft or to go back to Maryland. But I think all signs right now are pointing to him coming back to Maryland and withdrawing his name. From what I've heard, the feedback that he's received has been, you know, go play 1 year in the Big Ten, show us that you can do it at this level, and then, you know, we'll reevaluate next season, man. But he is an outstanding player. To give you an idea of the talent that he is, I mean, he played on that team takeover team with Armando Bacot, Hunter Dickinson, Jeremy Roach, Trevor Keel, Justin Moore, and he was one of the best players on that team, man, that won Peach Jam. I believe they went undefeated at Peach Jam that year, man. It's very easy to fly under the radar, you know, when you're playing with a bunch of guys like that. And obviously, he went to Charlotte and proved why he was one of the best players on that team. I think he's going to be somebody that's going to have a huge impact for Maryland next year. There's rumors that they're going to get commitment from Donald Carey here in the next 24 to 48 hours or so. Georgetown transfer. Very ironic, obviously, seeing that we were talking about the Hoyas earlier, and Maryland obviously was able to get a commitment from Kudus Wahab last year, also left Georgetown, so it looked like they're going to be able to go to the well and get that done again. So we'll see. Add those two guys, veteran guards, both of those guys are from the area, PG County guys, and you return Hakeem Hart, Dante Scott, and Julian Reese. You know, now all of a sudden you have a pretty formidable, you know, starting five there if they can get that done. And also, obviously, they're going to have Ike Cornish, who was redshirting last season, and then Noah Basser, who's a freshman committed from IMG. And they still got some more work to do. They just missed out on Antoine Davis. So I'm sure they'll be doing some more work in the portal, you know, over the next few weeks. But he was speaking with Michigan earlier, man, just kind of grabbing one or two guys out of the portal, keeping some guys from the team prior. I think it's going to bode well for a lot of teams this year. And obviously, you know, being local to the DMV, I think Maryland is doing a great job of it so far.
Yeah, and I do think that there's an upward trajectory for Maryland. I do think that Kevin Willard is going to be able to come in, do a solid job after they wound up having an interim coaching regime with Danny Manning and company last season, as we do have Aaron Robinson joining me right here on the podcast. And I take a look at the Big Ten in general, and part of the reason why I'm a little bit more bullish on Maryland is because I take a look at what the conference has done this offseason, haven't necessarily been too impressed. Now, for Minnesota, getting in Dawson Garcia, I think, is terrific for them. I don't necessarily know how he and Jamison Battle are going to be on the floor at the same time, but at the very least, you've got a little bit of talent coming in there. Max Kleisman coming in from Wofford to Wisconsin, I guess that's a little bit of something. But I just take a look at the outlook for the Big Ten going into this season as compared to last season and feel like the Big Ten is down right now and they've been leapfrogged by the SEC, by the Big 12, by even the Big East for that matter as well. And I just feel like the Big Ten hasn't necessarily had the world's greatest offseason.
Yeah, I think it's NIL, man. I mean, I've talked about this a lot with a bunch of guys from the area, man. Even teams in the Northeast, like, there haven't really been too many teams in the Northeast that have really hit big on transfers this offseason, man. I mean, there have been a few here and there that have gotten some big names. Obviously, Maryland was able to get Demir Young. There have been a couple of teams that have landed some pretty good transfers in the Northeast. But, you know, by and large, the South and the Midwest is kicking everybody's NIL stuff because they have, you know, these big businesses and these corporations that are in these towns, like, that are literally funding the athletic department. Like, obviously, we know what was going down at Miami with John Reed. And, you know, but a lot of these SEC schools, like Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or Starksville, Mississippi, like, a lot of these towns, like, the college is the economy. So these local business owners benefit from pouring money into the program because at the end of the day, it's going to help their business as well. But you got, you know, these schools in the Northeast and D.C. and New York and all these major cities, like, it's not the same. And obviously, we've seen big Ten schools like Nebraska, obviously rumored to be offering $500K NIL deals, but they haven't been able to get anybody yet, man. I think a lot of schools simply haven't figured out the NIL space yet. Like, this is still very, very new. So a lot of schools are still kind of trying to figure it out, man. I've spoken to assistants, you know, myself, or Big Ten assistants, man, and, you know, they're saying it's tough to figure out, man, and they're still trying to navigate it themselves, man. But nobody really knows how to navigate it. We're all, you know, navigating it together, you know, in real time here. And, you know, as everybody's, you know, we heard Brad Underwood complaining about it and a bunch of other coaches are complaining about it, man. It's like, yo, are you going to adapt or you're not, man? And I think right now the Big Ten is just behind. They're behind the eight ball right now. And, you know, you've seen, you know, provinces and schools in the SEC, you know, and you mentioned even some schools in the Big 12. And even I think Indiana's probably, you know, done the best in terms of the transfer portal and the NIL stuff that they've been able to put together. But, you know, by and large, like, the Big 12 and the SEC are kind of, you know, running up the score on everybody else when it comes to this NIL stuff.
And something that I've noticed as well, and I wound up having a chat about this a few days ago, and I'm starting to think that there might be a little bit more to it, but the coaches that have really been able to do the best job the last 2 or 3 years are these guys that they do have experience at either the lower college level, like mid-majors. I'm talking about things like the Big South, even the Metro Atlantic, list goes on and on. Or they wound up even going down a little bit further to the JUCO ranks, because you notice that with a lot of these guys that wound up coming up into the SEC, coming up into the Big 12, like Chris Beard. And I feel like just having that background experience of having to turn over your roster every single year, like you wind up seeing at the junior college level, like you wind up seeing at a lot of these mid-major schools, I feel like that's prepped some of these coaches that have come into these power conference jobs very, very well. Meanwhile, something that I noticed with the Big Ten is that it's pretty much good old boys club that we've had for a very long time with so many coaches that have been there for a double-digit amount of years, and I feel like they are a little bit behind the times.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the JUCO stuff, like Chris Beard, obviously Jans at Mississippi State. Like, those guys, when you're playing and coaching in JUCO basketball, it's a grind. Like, there's no easy road trips. There's no easy recruiting tactics. Like, you really have to get your feet and hands dirty and get your boots on the ground and do the work, man. So those guys, and it's the same at low and mid-major schools. A lot of these schools, coaches that are coming from smaller schools, man, you really have to grind. Not saying that you don't have to grind a lot of these high-major schools, because you certainly do. But it's a different grind, you know, when you're at these high-major schools. And a lot of these coaches that have been doing it a certain way, you know, for a certain amount of years, they just simply don't feel like, you know, adapting to the new day in college basketball, man. And all these coaches, you know, Underwood and Izzo, and we just seen Roy Williams and Krzyzewski, both of them really retired. Jay Wright retired, you know, just because it's different, man. Not nobody, but a lot of coaches don't have the time and the energy, you know, to be on the phone with 17, 18, 19-year-olds, you know, talking about how much money they're going to make in college basketball. Like, you know, they used to say, all right, look, you're going to come here, we're going to have you running off this many pin downs and this many ball screens. You're going to play, you know, X amount of minutes. They're not worried about, you know, how we're going to get these players paid. Like, obviously, that's a huge part of the game nowadays, man. And obviously, the roster turnover each and every year, having to fill potentially 4, 5, 6 scholarships every single season, like, is exhausting for a lot of these coaches, man. And they're just having trouble trying to adapt, man. But Mike Bray said it best, man. It's not going anywhere. You know, it's not going anywhere. The portal's not going anywhere. NIL is not going anywhere. So either shut up or adapt, man. All this complaining and stuff, man, it's not going back to the good old days of college basketball. So we're all going to have to kind of learn and adapt in real time here, you know, as things are changing in college hoops.
Yep, no question about it. It is time that guys are going to be getting paid, and I'm all for it. Hopefully we can just get a little bit more clarity as to what's going on, because the NCAA, they're just completely rudderless. I don't think the NCAA has any idea what's going on, and that's obviously a little bit of an issue, but certainly it is a changing landscape out there. Those that are adapting are doing a good job, and those, like we were mentioning a little bit earlier, that do have a little bit of background experience, they are doing the best job of it. And a man that is doing absolutely amazing work in being able to cover it all is you, Aaron. I know that you and Andrew are doing an amazing job over there at All Facts Media. You guys have your podcast, The Auto Bid, which you're able to catch wherever you find podcasts. And I know you're doing a lot of different work when it comes to all levels of basketball, being able to take a look over there for NBC Sports. List goes on and on. So let the good people at home know what you've got going on in general and how people are able to follow along. On social media and other platforms.
Like my guy G Hoop said, we're over on Twitter at All Facts Media, Instagram, and TikTok at All Facts Media. Tap into our TikTok or our Instagram, Twitter, YouTube as well at All Facts Media. Make sure you guys are subscribing to our podcast, The Auto Bid, wherever you get your podcast. 2 new episodes, one I'm with the newest Notre Dame Fighting Irish commit Marcus Hammond, and also one with this week with Wake Forest commit Jao Atuka. So if you like ACC hoops, go and check those guys out, man. They're going to be 2 impact guards in the ACC next season. I'm on Twitter at @AceRobinson_. So if you want any of my content, make sure you follow me there and stay tuned for a lot of fun stuff we got coming up.
And hey, speaking of the ACC, DJ Burns going over there from Winthrop to NC State, a good gift for an NC State program that we're going to call it like it is. They really needed a big pickup, so that is solved for them. And on top of ACC hoops, you've got Aaron and Andrew doing a great job taking a look at a little bit of everything over there at All Facts Media. They do amazing work. They truly love the game, and they're a pair of guys that they were just playing it a few seasons ago. So great background experience there. 2 very hardworking gentlemen, and today it was Aaron that wound up joining me. So a big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the Easton Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. They give you a little bit of roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Wednesday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Cousins with myself, Greg Oop Spears, and now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. Big thanks to Aaron Robinson, doing great work over there at All Facts Media, NBC Sports Edge, list goes on and on. He's out there in the DMV area providing great college basketball analysis, a guy that just absolutely loves the game, and he himself was playing at Quinnipiac and Cobbett State with his brother Andrew a few years ago, so great to be able to get him aboard today. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball over the last 24 hours. Saw a pair of guys from the non-D1 level go up to the D1 level. The bigger impact, in my opinion, goes to Anthony Cooper. He was playing at Caldwell College this last season. He's going to be staying out there in the northeast part of the country, and he is going to be adding to Marist. Wound up doing a very solid job last season of stuffing the stat sheet. 19 points per contest, did a very solid job of being able to give out right around 2.5, 3-ish assists per contest. Not a guy that's going to come in and is necessarily going to light the world on fire with regards to steals or anything like that. Never been necessarily the forte of Marist. 79% free throw shooter, should be able to come in there and really do a solid job of being able to play a bit of a role for Marist, a Marist team that is not necessarily overly up-tempo, but does a good job of being able to execute the little things, and I think that he is going to be a good fit with them. And then you've got Yakima Rose Jr. He was playing this last season at St. Louis, Missouri, and congratulations to him in all likelihood of being able to get a D1 scholarship, but he's going to Eastern Illinois, and this is not a guy that I thought was going to be able to go up to the D1 level. Averaged 12 points per contest, someone that is able to dole out the ball. Wound up being able to average a little bit under 4 assists per contest, so did a nice job there, but also did wind up having right around 2 turnovers per contest. Shot just 22% from 3-point range. He's a little bit of a ball hawk as well. He did wind up having over 2 steals per game, so to his credit, was able to do a nice job there, but I take a look at him for Missouri-St. Louis. This is not a team that wound up playing like overly rambunctious competition or anything like that. This is not like they're going up against these stalwarts at the D2 level or anything, so I did take a look at it, and I think that this is going to be a case in which he's probably going to wind up getting some minutes for an Eastern Illinois team that I'm going to call what it is. They're probably going to stink once again. So, I mean, congratulations to him on going up to the D1 level. I just don't know the impact that he's going to be able to make over there. I don't know the impact that Eric Oliver is going to make on Tennessee Tech, but he is transferring from South Dakota, and he is going to be going to Tennessee Tech. Tennessee Tech has swung and missed on the portal a few times, but this is a guy that did wind up making a little bit of an impact with the Coyotes last season. Wound up putting up 6 points per contest, a little bit of versatility, 34% three-point shooter. Probably going to need to pass the ball a little bit more at 6'1", not necessarily a guy that wound up doing that while he was with South Dakota and Tennessee Tech. Having lost pretty much their entire backcourt from last season, they needed a little bit of a refresh. But that said, I do think that he's going to be able to come in. He's at the very least going to be a solid role player for them. So I do think that Tennessee Tech did a solid job there. Mekhi Strickland, he was playing this last season at St. Louis. Didn't wind up seeing a bunch of minutes, but did wind up putting up 2.5 points per contest. Guy that they were hoping would maybe be able to develop in future years. He has decided that he is going to go down to the 91 level, and he's going to be going to Victoria College. Very easy for a handicap. All you need to notice is that Mr. Strickland was at the D1 level last season. He is no longer there. Cross him off your list of guys that you need to evaluate and move on. So that is nice, clean, and easy there. This should be a little bit of an impact. A little bit of a West Coast kid going to the East Coast. Kyrie Brown, last season was playing at Seattle. Not a lot of scoring, as he wound up having really a big three for Seattle, but that said, was able to be a pretty integral part of the offense. Did wind up being able to give out 2.5 assists per contest. An okay, but not great three-point shooter with right around 4.5 points per contest. He has decided that he is going to be going to New Hampshire, and New Hampshire is a team that plays at one of the slowest styles in all of college basketball. Brown wound up seeing some relatively solid minutes, right around 20 minutes per game for a Seattle team that, as I mentioned, Darion Trammell, Cameron Tyson, and Riley Grigsby, they did everything for the team last season as they combined average right around 45 points per contest, and then everyone else was just pretty much filling in the gaps from there. Brown going to be a little bit more of a feature guy with this move, and I think that he's going to be able to do a solid job in that role. I think that he's a little bit more of a capable scorer than was led on while he was over there at Seattle, so good for him for being able to move up a little bit and should be able to do a solid job in a bigger role. You wound up seeing Malik Harden-Hayes, who last season wound up putting up 5.5 points per game while he was at North Dakota, but really saw his bust-out year be during the 2020-21 season, right around 9 points, 5 rebounds per contest, and shot 37.5% from 3-point range as he's 6'7", a little bit of a combo player. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Got to think that folks taking a look at what he wound up doing 2 seasons ago are going to be interested in him, so we will see where he winds up landing. Jaron Williams, he's out there in the transfer portal as well. Wound up beginning his career at UT Martin, and this last season was able to put up some solid numbers at Robert Morris as a starter, right around 7 points per game. Did wind up seeing a dip in his 3-point shooting percentage, shot just 26% from 3 after the season before. AUT Martinet wound up giving the team right around 10.3 points on 36.5% 3-point shooting as a little bit of a 6'6" combo player. Got to think that there's going to be a little bit of a demand for what he's going to be able to do. Ben Sternberg, he last season was playing at Cleveland State. He has decided that he is going to be following Dennis Gates as well. He's going to be heading to Missouri now. This is not as big of a transfer as we wound up seeing with guys like a Des Moines Hodge wind up going over there, Trey Gomillion and company. This guy wound up being at the end of the bench, averaged 1 point per contest. He is there as pretty much a cheerleader. He might be filling up some water bottles and very occasionally see a minute or two at the end of a blowup, but I'm good for him. It is clear that Dennis Gates has a lot of loyalty to the guys that were at Cleveland State, so congratulations to him being able to get into Missouri. Logan Landers, he last season was playing at Kansas State, didn't wind up putting up massive numbers, right around 1.1 rebound per contest, just could not wind up getting out there on the floor. And a kid from Cedarburg, Wisconsin, he has decided that he is going to be going to Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon has certainly went all in with regards to the transfer portal. You take a look at Landers, and according to 247 Sports, number 6 recruit from the state of Wisconsin, a little bit more of a true center at 6'10", not a guy that's probably going to be spacing the floor too much, and that's something that Grand Canyon could use. They've always been a team that has been solid on the glass. They didn't wind up having that one dominant rebounder last season like you wind up seeing with Ashbourne Mischgard when they wound up making the NCAA tournament a couple seasons ago, but joins a very good transfer class. They bring in Josh Baker, someone who didn't wind up seeing a ton of minutes at UNLV, but had some upside. Noah Bauman, a sharpshooter that wound up burying a lot of threes at Georgia and USC the last few seasons. Rayshon Harrison, a double-figure scorer from Presbyterian. So I do like what Bryce Drew is doing over there at Grand Canyon, so they get another talented piece there. You wind up seeing Seneca Knight, who was playing at BYU last season. He has decided that he is going to be going to Illinois State, and this is the shot in the arm that, in my opinion, this program wound up needing, because you take a look at Seneca Knight, he had some okay numbers at BYU last season, right around 7.5 points per contest. Did wind up giving the team 3.5 boards, shot about 31% for threes. Not in there to be able to shoot threes, and Illinois State actually did a solid job shooting threes last season, but Dan Mueller is now out of the fold. You've got a new regime in there at Illinois State, and during the 2019-20 season for Seneca Knight, he proved that he could be Mr. Do-It-All for the San Jose State Spartans while he was over there. 17 points, 5.5 boards, 2.5 assists, steal per contest while he was out there in the Mountain West, one of the better conferences in college basketball. Illinois State wound up losing all their big contributors from last season with both just graduation and also the transfer portal as well. So this is a big gift for them. I like that move. Charlotte, it looks like they're losing Jameer Young, which means that they need to replace that scoring, and they're going to look to do so with Montre Gibson. Gibson wound up shooting it just absolutely insanely from three-point range during the 2020-21 season. 50% from distance. This last year shot 31% from three, so you got to think that'll probably shoot somewhere in the middle. But in both seasons while he was at Tarleton State, averaged a combined about 15 points, 3.1 assists per game, able to give you right around 4.5 boards per game as well, 1.5 steals. Charlotte is not a team that wound up doing a great job of pickpocketing, and even though Charlotte played very slowly, the defense was not necessarily online. He should be able to help out with that right away. He should be able to give this team some buckets. So I do think that it is going to be a very good situation that he's going to be stepping into, and a situation in which he should be the lead defender and really one of the main scorers for Charlotte. Caleb Fuller was at UC Davis this last season. He has decided that he is going to be going to Montana State, right around 12 points, 5.5 rebounds, and 2 assists per game. At 6'5", was a Swiss Army knife guy, not necessarily a master of anything, but good at very many things. While he was coming off the bench a little bit more for UC Davis, his first 2 years on campus, shot over 40% from three. This year, more around 34% from three-point range, so we did wind up seeing a little bit of a dip there, but certainly a guy that's going to be able to come in and a guy that is going to be able to do some very good work with this program. You wind up seeing Davion Bradford. He was playing this last season over at Kansas State. He has decided that he is going to be going to Wake Forest, and for Wake Forest, they're bringing in J.O. Itika as well. I think that he is going to be a solid get with Bradford. I think that he's going to be a little bit more of a role player for this team. He's 7 feet tall, 265 pounds, and was the starter of the last two seasons at Kansas State. He's going to look to recapture the form they wound up having during that 2020-21 season, because that year he's averaging right around 21 minutes per contest, shot 62% from the floor, 7.5 points, 4.3 rebounds per game. Now, the big thing for him as well, Wake Forest is very much an up-tempo team, a team that's looking to crank it up. Kansas State, always one of the slower teams in all of college basketball. 24/7 Sports had him as a top 175 recruit when he was coming out in the class of 2020. So I do think that he's going to be able to come in, command quite a few minutes. Question is, what is the conditioning going to be? But should be able to help out a Wake Forest team that was a little bit porous on defense this last season. We wound up seeing Jackson Etter decide that he is going to be withdrawing from the transfer portal and he's going to be going back to Georgia. We wound up seeing this with Cario Okwendo as well, and I like what Mike White has been able to build in the transfer portal, and Etter should be able to see some relatively solid minutes. He was actually a walk-on this last season that wound up being able to command some respect, and towards the back half of the season, he was able to put up some numbers, because this is someone that was an afterthought this last season going into the year, and then as the season wound up going along, mostly because a lot of guys wound up growing tired of Tom Crean, and Tom Crean pretty much had no choice whatsoever other than for him to see some minutes, was able to command a little bit more, wound up towards back half of the season, shooting 50% from three-point range in the final 16 games of the season. Now, it's not like he took a bunch of three-pointers, right around 1.5 per contest, but it will be a relatively sharp shooter, not a guy that's going to be taking over the game or anything like that, but it will be a solid cog for a Georgia team that's looking to build upward when it comes to this upcoming season out there in the SEC. You wind up seeing Thomas Allen, who was at NC State this last season. He has decided that he is going to be transferring to Ball State. With Allen, I was a little bit surprised that he didn't wind up seeing more minutes than he wound up getting. It was very ironic because he actually began his career in Nebraska. Nebraska and NC State wound up playing in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and he probably wishes that he could have experienced the glory days out there at Nebraska, where during the 2018-19 season, at his best year, 8.5 points, 2 assists, 1.3 steals per game, and shot 36.5% from 3, a career about 36% 3-point shooter, 81% free throw shooter. Just could not wind up getting a lot of minutes this season for NC State, which was just really a rudderless program in general. So him going over, I think, is going to be very good for Ball State, a Ball State team that has been towards the bottom of the MAC these last few seasons. Ball State has been able to have some decent 3-point shooting, but wound up losing a lot of that during the offseason. So him being able to come in is going to be solid. You wound up seeing Benjamin Bozeman's Verdonk, who last season was playing at Illinois, wound up putting up 2 rebounds per contest, was really an afterthought his first 2 seasons on campus, and I mean, let's call it what it is. He still was a relative afterthought this last season. He's heading over there to South Carolina, and South Carolina is doing a great job of being able to line themselves up for dead last when it comes to what they're going to be able to do out there in the SEC, because I take a look at these pieces, and I like Lamont Paris as a coach, but you bring in Aiden Brown, who put up numbers at the Citadel, but I mean, the way that the Citadel plays, it's not hard to put up numbers there. He's 6'5", and is expected to play the power forward spot in the SEC. That's not going to go well. They bring in Troy Bonten, who wound up averaging like 5 points per game at Evansville. Arima Debo, who's a solid passer out there in the Sun Belt, but once again, it's the Sun Belt. Michi Johnson is someone I do like for this team, but South Carolina, out of all these SEC teams, they lost a lot. They're bringing in guys that, I mean, they're probably worse than what they wound up losing, so yip-de-doo, you got a guy that wound up averaging 2 rebounds per game and rode the bench at Illinois, so good for them. I think that it's going to be a relatively long year for them. You wound up seeing Hassan Diarra, who last season was playing in Texas A&M. He has decided that he is going to be going to UConn, and I think that UConn is getting a solid get here. I mean, this is a guy that was a top 75 recruit according to ESPN and didn't wind up putting up massive numbers at Texas A&M, but a little bit over 6 points per contest throughout his career, a little bit under a steal per game, and did wind up commanding a few more minutes towards back half of the season as well. It was a little bit up and down as to what you were able to get out of Hassan Diarra, and he did wind up having volatility towards the end of the season, but you take a look at the last 14 games of the campaign, a little bit over 8 points per contest, shot 38% from three-point range, 80% in the free throw line, should be able to go into UConn, be a good plus defender for them, be able to give them a little bit of scoring. Not a guy that I think is going to be able to hang up their double figures, but a gentleman that is from the state of New York going back out there to the East Coast, I think that this is very beneficial for them. I don't know how beneficial this one is. Munar Hima. He last season was playing at Duquesne, and I mean, while he was at Duquesne, he was able to be a guy with size. I was able to give you a block per contest. He decided to go to Syracuse as he wound up putting up 2 points, a block, and 3 rebounds per game. Syracuse has been playing pretty much a five-man rotation the last few years. I don't see a way in which Hima winds up being good enough to be able to command too many minutes. Do I think that he could be a good cog for this team? Yes, but until Jim Boeheim winds up lengthening out the rotation in general, this is going to be a guy that's going to be in there pretty much as a pseudo towel boy for the team, and it's just not necessarily what you want. So he is going to be heading over there to Syracuse. Congratulations to him, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of playing time in his future. Celie Gesson-Chetman, he was at Wichita State last season, did not wind up really playing at all, had a little bit of upside, but just wound up redshirting last season. He's decided that he's going to be staying in state, but he's heading down to Hutchinson Community College, probably looking to build up his stock a little bit more and just wind up resurfacing in a year or two with hopefully a little bit of a better opportunity to be able to get a little bit of playing time. And then we wound up mentioning this one towards the back half of our conversation with Aaron, the fact that DJ Turnitup Burns, he last season was playing at Winthrop and legitimately was the number 3 recruit in the state of South Carolina a few years ago. Number 1 was Zion Williamson, and number 2 is Aaron Neesmith, so he wound up having that sort of talent. Put up 15 points and 4.5 rebounds per game in just 20.5 minutes per contest. This guy, the last 3 seasons, in terms of points scored on a per-minute basis, has been one of the best players in all of college basketball. He's heading over there to NC State. Going to be interesting to see if his workload winds up expanding a little bit, because in his 3 seasons at Winthrop, he wound up putting up 12.5 points in 18.2 minutes per contest. Not a guy that's going to be basing the floor, but certainly someone that is very efficient with his shooting, shot 62.5% from the floor this last season. 6'9", 260-pound big man. Probably going to need to work on conditioning a little bit, but Winthrop, they were a bit of an up-tempo team, much like NC State is, so I do think that this is going to be a good fit there, and hopefully this podcast is a good fit in what you're looking to listen to in general. We are getting a little bit more clarity with the transfer portal. Still a lot of craziness. 1,687 names in the transfer portal, so we're starting to figure everything out, and once we wind up getting a little bit more clarity with regards to these rosters, going to be giving you guys previews for all 32 conferences, a preview of every single team. So if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you are able to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind the letters EM. They mean does not matter, size per usual. Please send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. A big thanks to Aaron Robinson of All Facts Media for joining me in the second segment. Hopefully you guys are all doing well, and I will catch you guys every single day throughout the offseason and when it comes to the regular season, picks and analysis on every single game every single day. So I'll catch you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.